going through this series on the Ten Commandments, we've, before each sermon begins, we've been looking at the relevant part from Luther's Small Catechism, which we'll say responsibly. And let's do that now. What is the second commandment?
Do not misuse the name of the Lord.
What does this mean for us?
We should honour and love God, and we shall not use God's name on earth, tell lies on our oath, do witchcraft, or deceive anyone. Instead, we should use God's name to ask for help in any trouble, and to praise and thank God.
Let's pray. Gracious Father, we ask that you would open our hearts and minds to hear the voice of your Spirit speaking to us today. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. One of the things I really like about Luther's Small Catechism is that you see in each of the responses here for the Ten Commandments, you'll notice there, the first bit is we should honour and love God. Now, if you're here last week, that's the answer for what is the first commandment about. Because every commandment ties back to that first commandment. If we do honour and love God, then the rest of the commandments flow out of that. If we are not doing the rest of these commandments, then we failed the first one. There's that connection to it all. And I do like the simple way that in these responses, he draws that together. But before we go further, let's remind ourselves what Scripture says. And this comes from Exodus 20, verse 7. You should not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. So this is a pretty serious situation. But I think sometimes when we in the 21st century think about misusing someone's name, we sort of scratch our heads a bit. What exactly is going on here? So let's start with the right way to use God's name. What should we be using God's name for? And Luther mentioned it there at the end of the response. So the sort of things we should be doing with God's name is praising him. That's what we do in our songs. That's what our worship is about. It is coming together as fellow believers to worship our God. It is to pray. Jesus taught us to say, Our Father. We talk to God. We bring our prayers. Prayer is communication with God, talking to our Heavenly Father. Being able to bring before him our joys and our sorrows. What's good, what's not good. We can bring before him what we're really upset about. Yes, we can come before our God and say, why the heck did you do this? We can let out our anger to him. That is not misusing God's name because you're directing it to him. He is your Father. He wants to hear what is on your heart. That is the correct using of God's name. In witness, we are to go and tell people about Jesus. We're to be pointing people to Jesus, aren't we? We're followers of Jesus. And so we can't be pointing people to Jesus. We can't be telling them that God so loved the world that he sent his only son, unless we're talking about God, we're talking about Jesus, we're talking about the Holy Spirit. Now, I think one way to understand how this ties back with the first commandment, I claim that I really love Karen. So, what does that mean? That means, firstly, I like talking to her. If I never talked to her, then my claim that I loved her, love her, seems a little bit sus, doesn't it? I will be encouraging her. I will be telling her what I appreciate about what she does, all that she contributes, how my life is so wonderful because she's a part of it. That would make sense if I really love her, wouldn't it? And wouldn't I go about telling other people how great she is, how great it is to be with her. In fact, a couple of years ago, on my first ever Limeway Youth Camp, it would appear that in quite a few of my short talks and other things I did with both campers and leaders there, I mentioned Karen quite a bit. And so the following year, she came with me on the camp. And there were a number of the camp leaders who said that they were eager to meet this person I talked a lot about. Do you see how that all just makes sense? If I really love her, then these things should happen. Hence, you can see where I'm going with this, can't you? If I really love God, then I will be praising him. I will be talking with him. I will be telling others about him. It's just common sense, one would think. We can also start to see some of the things I won't be doing. And we'll just touch on it here. For example, I don't go around telling people all the things that Karen gets wrong, because she doesn't get anything wrong.
Be careful.
I must admit, I have trouble with some of my friends at times, where all they seem to tell me is what they're unhappy about in their marriage, or particularly about their wife. And you sort of, do you actually love this person? What's going on there? Or people who never talk or about these people who have a great love for them. Now, you may not be aware yet that we have a new grandchild. If you aren't aware, then Karen has lots and lots of pictures to show you. Yeah, see, you're well aware, because when you're in love, when you love with your heart and mind, it overflows, doesn't it? So, does that make sense? So this is the proper use of God. No. And one of the other areas we see the proper use of God's name is in baptism. In baptism, we are baptized into the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We are using God's name to welcome someone into God's kingdom. We receive baptism in God's name. We are buried into Christ. We are raised with him. We are joined together with God. We are made part of God's family, and thus his name is a part of that. It becomes, if you like, almost like a brand. We are now part of God's family. And God is with us because we receive the Holy Spirit. Can you see here the power of God's name? Hopefully you would have heard so far in the worship that we've done, we've been using God's name quite a bit. Because it's him that we are talking to. It's him who we are subject to. It's him who we come before. When I was 10 years old, going way, way back, when I was 10 years old, I'd worked out a pretty good system. Well, I thought it was a pretty good system. If you think back to when you were 10, you often came up with pretty good plans that in hindsight probably weren't good plans. But I worked out that when I was with my friends, when I was in the playground, I could swear like everybody else did. And that was fine. I could be a part of the gang, part of everyone else and talk exactly like they did. That was fine. But I was bright enough to know that when at home, that would never happen. Back in those days, corporal punishment was very popular. And I would suffer, and I do mean that physically. So I had this worked out. This worked well. My language was spot on at home. And when I was with my mates, when we were playing cricket, when we were doing all sorts of games and activities, then my language was more colourful. As with all plans, there are serious flaws to these plans. At school one day, when I was talking to my teacher, a friend came up and wanted me to come with him straight away. And I swore at him to get lost. And my teacher looked at me and said, "I expected more from you." Now, this teacher was someone that I had actually talked a bit about, my faith in Jesus, my belief in the Bible. I had declared to this teacher that I was a Christian. And this hit me pretty hard. Now, I'm talking here, don't get me wrong, I'm talking here about the effect on me. I'm not saying effect on other people. This is how the Holy Spirit did some work on me. That hit me so hard in my innermost being that I had failed not only my teacher, but I had failed God. That I'm unaware that I've ever sworn publicly since. Doesn't mean thoughts don't come. I'm not trying to point out some sort of superpower or other things here. But it hit me that I was not doing what I should be doing. And at times we need the Holy Spirit to give us that kick in the pants. But we'll come back to this in a minute because, as you can see, I'm going to now just go in a little bit of a different direction. We've got this statement up here, which is very true. Because sometimes we make a mistake with this commandment to think that if you do, like I was just talking about, if you never swear, especially if you don't, as you are probably all aware, there are categories of swear words. There's those that use God's name, aren't there? Use Jesus' name. There are swear words that are really violent about other people and stuff. So you can understand the problem. But just because my words seem pure doesn't mean I'm following this commandment. Because it's more than just my words, isn't it? I can have the most polite, God-honoring vocabulary, and I can still treat people as dirt. My words can be beautiful praise to God, but I'm never actually thinking about it. I'm never actually really in love with Him. Can you see what I'm getting at here? One of the problems that we sometimes fall in with commandments and with God's rules, don't get me wrong, they're very important, but we can start to make it like a checklist. I've done that one, I don't have to worry about it anymore. I could say, I don't swear in public, therefore, I don't use the Lord's name in vain in public with my words, therefore, I've got one of the commandments under control. And one of the things I think we find about commandments is we don't have any of them in control. Because they're deeper, there's more to it than that. Is my speech is my attitude directed towards God. I want to take us to this thing, this passage here that Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. What Paul is arguing here is that because of all that Jesus has done, because of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, because of all you and I have received through Christ, because we do have peace with God, because we are justified, because we are forgiven, because we are God's children, we are God's ambassadors. We are Christ's ambassadors. The very name Christian basically means in Christ. You're one of those Jesus people. You represent Jesus. We would say today, when it comes to being an ambassador, that an ambassador is someone who represents a country, aren't they? So what the Australian ambassador says in France is what Australia is saying. They're there as our representative, as our spokesperson, and it is often said that they speak in the name of Australia. An ambassador speaks in someone else's name. If we are ambassadors of Christ, then who we are reflects on who Christ is. What we say and what we do reflect back on him, for good or bad. And, you know, if you're up on following news and history, you will know there are good ambassadors and there are pretty bad ambassadors. And that could be a problem. Now, you might say, well, what we need is just some good ambassadors and let them go out and tell everybody about Jesus. That's not the option here, I'm afraid. You and I, by definition, are ambassadors. It's not an opt-in scheme. We are saved. We are reconciled with God. We are justified. We have received so much from him that we are therefore his ambassadors. It's part of who we are as Jesus followers. Right or wrong, the things we say and do, people out there will put back onto Jesus, won't they? I'm not saying this is an ideal system. This is one of those things that I've often had long discussions with God about. How am I supposed to be this? When I mess up, you get in trouble. That's, you know, that bothers me. But this is what we are called to. Thus we come back that that our actions and our words do matter. Think about how you act, both your actions and words, in your home. Do you treat your spouse, your children, your parents as an ambassador of Christ should? When you're at work, when you're out in the community, when you're on the sports field, wherever you may be, when you're on the road, are you an ambassador of Christ then? Yes, you are. But are you being a good one? Or is that an area that you have trouble with? I must admit, this is an area that I suddenly find that I'm actually not very good at keeping this second commandment. There are times where my anger gets in the way, where my self-interest gets in the way, where my tiredness gets in the way. I am not being the sort of person that I want to be. I am not I don't have the words. I don't communicate. There's just so much I don't do that I should be doing. But as we've been saying with these commandments, as we use them as a mirror to see those areas that we need work on, the good news, of course, is that Jesus has died for us. We have forgiveness. We are to use this mirror to keep coming back to the cross. As we have said each week, we can daily repent. This is what that first thesis that Lincoln of the 95 nailed up. The first one was about Christianity being a life of daily repentance, of each day coming back to the foot of the cross, confessing, look, Lord, I'm having real hassles here. I need your help. Help me. We hand over our sin and we receive forgiveness. And guess what we do the next day? The very same thing. It is a journey of receiving forgiveness, getting up off our butts and going out there and being ambassadors for Jesus. And yes, we will mess up. And yes, we will be forgiven tomorrow. And yes, tomorrow we get up and we do the same thing. It is all about Jesus. He is the one who has chosen that his gospel will be spread through us, through our words and deeds. I encourage you to be good ambassadors, not in your own strength, and that's one of the mistakes we do make at times. I can start to say, I'm going to get up tomorrow and I am going to be a good ambassador. Well, no, I'm not. I'm going to be a horrible one. But through the Holy Spirit, I will be asking my Father to help me to listen better to the Holy Spirit within me, so that tomorrow I may be a better ambassador than I was today. I often like those little steps. If I can just be a little bit better than I was, that's still something, but I can't do it in my own strength. It's through the Holy Spirit. It's through everything that Jesus has done for me. Never forget that as we look at all these commandments from God, they are to help us on how to love God and how to love our neighbour. We need them, but we also need to be honest with ourselves that these are things we struggle with. We need to keep coming back every day to the foot of the cross. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.